Good day. My name is Michelle, and welcome to Nova's Business Report. In the spirit of oil and gas and the industry get-together of all the players this week, I'm very fortunate to have Angelique Peek with me as a guest today from RMB. She's no stranger to the mining sector particularly, but also of late oil and gas. Angie, thank you very much for being my guest today. So as this is a market watch section, we are going to talk a little bit about the sort of market side, the price and what impacts it. But I do want to link it very much to what's happening in Namibia as well. So if you don't mind, let's start off quickly with the recent discoveries and the announcements of late. What can we make about the announcements that Total and Shell has made in the last week or so?
Yeah, thanks very much for having me, Michelle. I think it's very interesting. You need to put those announcements always into context. And we may well know there is a lot happening out on the Orange Basin, specifically in Namibia at the moment. So we have Total there, Shell there, Chevron there, Galp there, Rhino there. So we're sitting, which is quite unusual, with many different operators on the blocks. Total's announcement very much is based on, they are, as we all know, relatively close to making a call on FID, which is final investment decision, which would really create a major economic impact onto this country. But investing in a country for a production of oil is a 25-year marriage of sorts, or it could even be longer. And that means that you have to be very clear on what your policies are, the rules are, the governance is going to be around you. And effectively, the marriage contract, as they call it, has to be solid, and both parties have to win from it. We're not there yet as a country, which means that they can't invest unless or until such time that the government and they are on the same page with all of those conditions, which includes fiscal stability, which includes how does local content look, which includes ownership on the blocks, etc. So they want to invest, and they can, but they need to first align these things. Shell is entirely different. Shell is entirely different. They are also globally doing all sorts of things, including have just gone through a corporate restructure. They are, from a cost perspective, making sure that they focus only on key frontier or other exploration hotspots. And Namibia is currently not one of those big ones, but they have announced that they will still be drilling in January of next year. So that means they are going nowhere for now. And we just, that's what I said, it's all in context that you have to see these announcements.
Okay, cool. And so let's talk, as this is a market watch, at the oil price at the moment, I'm not sure if it's at all anything that one can predict, given everything that's happened, especially this year geopolitically, but also the last 3 years. So what can you tell us about the oil market and the price at the moment, but also what do you see for the foreseeable future?
So the oil price is a very interesting game at the moment, Michelle. We are sitting at about $62-$63 a barrel. And that's about 9% down for the fiscal year, right? That's a lot. But there have been quite a few things. And, you know, no matter which way you color it in, geopolitics plays a huge role in the oil price. So it spiked during the Iran-Israel tensions because there is a strait there that cut off the oil supply routes. And that's quite a lot of the oil supply. So during that, there was major concern about supply and the price spiked. It has gone back down again since the ceasefire agreement. So we're sitting back at the sort of $62-$63 a barrel levels. What's also happened is that OPEC has agreed to increase oil production, allowing the people that are part of that team, if you want, to produce more barrels because there's agreement how much can be done, which means there's more oil in the market again. And that again shifts the prices down. And now you've got the Russia-Ukraine situation. Russia, I think, takes about a third of, or produces about a third of the oil of the world. So if during that conflict, there are major disruptions and Trump is trying to stop that war. And by doing so, he is putting major tariffs on anyone that buys oil from Russia, which would again spike the oil because then we've got a major supply problem again. So if
but has
and you're fighting, sorry?
Has he started with his drill, baby, drill? So has there been an increase in supply from the US as well?
Absolutely. So there's an increase in supply from the states themselves, from all of the OPEC members. And that's good because that puts the price down. But the Russia conflict is a problem. So what is now happening is he is meeting with Putin this Friday, actually, to negotiate on this war. And the market is already pricing in the fact that that war will then maybe come to a stop or at least slow down. If that happens, then obviously there will be none of these major tariffs. And then there will be, you know, prices around 62, 63 again. If they don't stop fighting there because of the tariffs and the threats that Trump is making, we will see less oil out there and we will see prices going back up into the 70s again.
So is it fair to say, given the long-term investment by these oil companies in Namibia, that the current price and sort of the foreseeable future doesn't really impact their decisions in terms of exploration and development?
So the price, if it keeps going lower or staying lower, technically would affect their decisions. But the global picture of oil availability and current production, which is going down, obviously, if you don't keep adding, and the energy need just increasing, means there's a major gap. So the world has to keep doing production and exploration for future production. So I want to say there's two sort of tug of wars playing with them. The price is a little bit too low at the moment for major exploration, and exploration is very costly, but the energy need is huge. So the price will have to get to a point where exploration makes sense. And that is, I think, where Namibia sits at the moment.
And maybe as a last question, and it's now really something that I've got no answer to or even thought about before, is we always talk about oil and gas. So when it comes to gas, are there quoted prices?
Are there quoted prices? Yes, there are quoted prices. It's more an industry norm than a quoted price like oil. What you do, however, have is, I mean, we have oil and gas, but gas is complicated and requires major, major infrastructure. And the country, you know, South Africa is also sitting in a situation where their gas supply is definitely going down. So they're looking at Namibia perhaps for gas supply, which has a major logistics angle to it. So the gas complicates things a bit, but can be a major income generator for Namibia if and when we get it right.
Okay. And then as a last question, what is happening this week? Is it like an oil and gas expo like last week was a mining expo?
Yes, absolutely. So it's 4 days effectively. Day one is masterclasses. So that is companies really doing detailed presentations on how things work and how, you know, the technicality, the banking, the funding, the financing, and the actual oil production all look. And then day three, four, and or two, three, and four are there is an exhibition and there is a proper conference with two different stages of constant discussions on policy, on oil production, on technicalities, on how AI fits into it. It's going to be a very, very interesting week. And many international players, both in the oil operator space and in the tier one and two contractor space, will be here.
Goodness, that sounds interesting. Enjoy your masterclasses, Angelique, and thank you very much for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Michelle.